This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
All right, Ajahn, over to you.
Brilliant, thank you, Chris, very much. Okay, let's see, where can we start? Okay, so with meditation, so when we look at the whole, in essence, you know, we look at the big picture, the life experience of meditation practice. What are we aiming at? What are we trying to achieve? Where are we going? So as all of you know, that meditation has many, many facets to it. And so, you know, usually in the beginning, the vast majority of people, you know, want some peace of mind, some, you know, relaxation, freedom, you know, from stress. You know, people come to meditation practice for many, many different reasons. And, you know, it can be, you know, very, very personal, very wide ranging. So, you know, the experience that we have with the meditation practice can be, you know, can be very simplistic to very, very profound and deep. So we could have a full range where we may wish to have, you know, just the basics, you know, peace of mind, you know, freedom from stress, contentment, and maybe some understanding, you know, right through to very, very, say, deep, profound understanding of oneself, our relationships with other people, and, you know, within the deep understanding of, you know, the nature of life, of ourselves, and, you know, and the nature of life itself. So, you know, we all come to practice, you know, for, it could be 101 reasons. So, you know, why, you know, when we first start off, So what do we, you know, what we have our specific reasons, what, you know, the reason why we come to the path in the first place. So when we look at the experience that we go through, especially from, say, the beginning to the intermediate stages, some of you guys have been going for at least 10, 20, 30 years and should have a very good handle on how to develop the practice, how to deal with obstacles and hindrances in the long term. But in essence, that, you know, we're looking at the mind experience. So just say, for example, you know, in a nutshell, we want some peace of mind, you know. So one thing we see quite clearly, like in the beginning, is, you know, we see, you know, different thoughts and feelings, coming up in the mind, and which say, like, obstructions to peace, you know, to obstructions to say understanding of, you know, within oneself. So the first thing we would like to aim for, really, to see right at the beginning stages is some peace of mind. You know, that may be enough, might be satisfactory for many people. But as in essence, that, you know, we need to come to an understanding of oneself in order to, you know, to remove the hindrances, the blocks, the obstacles, any difficulties which come up. Because right at the beginning stage, you know, you're going to see the personality quite clearly, the strengths and weaknesses, the soft and hard parts of one's character, you know, all those things that we're essentially attached to as a human being. And so you know, one doesn't have any choice. You know, we have the two main sides of the practice, the peaceful side of the practice, and then the wisdom, insight and understanding. So both those major components have to be kept in balance all the way from the beginner's level, you know, right up to the advanced. And the reason is that you can put energy into samadhi practice, getting the mind tranquil, but it will only take you so far. And, you know, one's insight practice, that practice of understanding, you know, coming to, you know, like a deeper comprehension of one's makeup, you know, one's views, opinions, thoughts, feelings, in order to slowly unravel this stuff, and to bring this with the stuff within that parameter to a sense of peace, or say quietude. And so, because one thing that you see very, very clearly is you can put forth energy and effort with samadhi meditation, with tranquility meditation, but you will only be able to get so far with it. You can put it, you know, you can use a lot of force and this and that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be successful in the long term, because the way these things work, you know, like as processes, as laws within the mind, processes, like natural processes in the mind, energies, forces and energies, that the path, you know, will, even if you don't see it right in the beginning, that it will bring you to that point. You know, like we had one of the disciples long term. I think he was doing Anapanasati for about 10 years, and I think the meditation must have been reasonable, but it may not have been like outstanding, or, you know, like, you know, you just imagine 10 years of daily practice. You know, you may have very realistic expectations, but it wasn't necessarily as satisfactory as he may have felt. So, but he was able to see another practice which worked quite well, and that comes from insight. So, you know, one has to see exactly where one is stuck in order to, say, unravel and release oneself from that. And then, so as you investigate, as you develop insight into different moods, feelings, you know, say for example, if I'm attached to something, if I don't contemplate that and look into that, You know, it's not going to go away. It's, you know, you can easily stay with you 1, 2, 3 years plus, because, you know, there's something which is left like undone. You know, it keeps knocking, you know, knocking at the door of the mind, you know, returning. And it's like, you know, it's like that mood, that mind state. It's like, you know, I'm like, I'm here again, knocking at the door of the mind. And if you don't address me, if you don't like talk to me, if you don't come to an understanding of what's going on, you know, I can just keep persisting for years on end. And so, you know, even abbots can have stuff even after 20 to 30 years. You know, these underlying energies are very, can be very, very tricky and very, refined in nature. And then you really have to work to remove these things. You can have stuff from childhood, you know, when you were 5, 6, you know, 8, 9 years of age, and stuck with mum and dad. And you know, it could take, you know, I mean, some people, it could take 10 years before that kind of stuff really comes up. Because as a person in modern society, you've got so much stuff coming into the mind, you know, it could take 10 years of like clearing house before you reach these deeper experiences that you had maybe as a younger person, you know, as a child, and then you've got to start working with that stuff. So, you know, you're looking at all this karma from this life, you know, sometimes from past lives, you'll have significant stuff coming up. So in essence, you're developing a sense of skillfulness, you know, skillfulness on both sides, on tranquility, you know, finding the best meditation objects, the best approach. And then, you know, if you don't see the, you know, it's like my attitude is, if I don't see any peace at all within 5 minutes, I go straight to investigation. I go much earlier than that, even after 2 or 3, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes maximum. 5 minutes for the lay disciples, you know, you guys got a lot more stuff on your plate to process. The monasteries are a much more protected environment when it comes to sensory input. But, you know, if you don't see, you know, my attitude is, especially with the long-term practitioners, 20, 30 years, I wouldn't waste any time. If you don't see any peace at all, even after 3 to 5 minutes, go straight to Vipassana and come to an understanding of what's obstructing you. And then you have to prove these things for yourself. You actually have to see it work. If you start investigating a particular feeling, the thought process, memory, you've got to see some like relaxation and letting go. You know for a fact if the insight is working, if it's starting to bite, then you know for a fact that what you're doing is actually is slowly removing those hindrances. And So, wisdom, as all of you, most of you are aware, mindfulness and wisdom in daily life. So the vast majority of you know the 7 enlightenment factors. Number 1, mindfulness. Number 2, investigation of your personal experience. The Buddha's teaching, your own thoughts and feelings, the world you live in, your relationships with other people, what's going on in the world around you. And then you'll see energy arise, but that energy also manifests as a sense of peacefulness. So when you really start to see, you know, when you start to get really peaceful, you'll see rapture, you know, energy arising in the mind, and then that energy becomes a base, you know, for tranquility. So you go from, so you know, energy to rapture to piti sukha. You know, that like really deep, you know, the piti sukha, deep blissful happiness. Joy is it's energizing. It's like chi. You know, it runs through you. You know, you can have it run for 3, 4, 5 hours. I mean, if you get this kind of experience where they talk about like awakening the kundalini, where you get energy flowing 3, 4, 5 hours, and you can't even say where it comes from. It's coming from the lower. I mean, it's coming from that tantian point below the belly button, but it's you can flow for hours, and you think, but there could be a connection there with, you know, they talk about awakening the kundalini, but I won't go into that right now. I've only got limited time, so, but in essence, you know, so, you know, that especially those first three factors, you know, mindfulness and wisdom in daily life. and then you really start to get the ball rolling. So even little, you know, obscure stuff, little insects, bees, or even birds in the garden. If you see something new, don't neglect it. Even the most trivial things, like little ants crawling on the ground, or the wind blowing through the trees, or the color of the leaves, as they change and fall from, like in the forest to the ground or in one's back garden. So because these are opportunities to increase your understanding and increase energy, which is, that energy is a basis for samadhi, for tranquility. And not to let these little opportunities to pass by. So what we'll do now with the meditation practice, we'll focus on something just a little bit different, which is the sympathetic joy, rejoicing in the prosperity of others. So all of you are familiar with the four Brahma Viharas to a degree. Things like the monks and the lay teacher fraternity, monks, nuns, and the lay teachers talk about metta. I say, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. So we do see the first two quite on a regular basis. Sympathetic joy, we don't hear about too often, but it's well worth, so metta, these overlap. Metta, compassion, sympathetic joy overlap. The underlying factors, they share underlying factors as a mind experience, something that you feel. And so what happens with, say, like metta is based in goodwill, and metta is largely, because you're looking at this overlap principle, metta is largely based in emotional, a sense of goodwill based on emotional, for people to be happy, to be peaceful, to be, free from, compassion, freedom, free from pain and suffering, metta, that sense of happiness, contentment, but they still overlap, these guys. So you can't get an absolute definity for metta, a definity for compassion, because of the overlap. But sympathetic joy is more geared to worldly happiness, wealth, prosperity, success. In a simplistic terms, metta is based on more of an emotional, intention of goodwill for others. It's a feeling, a tangible feeling basis. But sympathetic joy is more geared towards like worldly happiness. The stuff that we see in the world, worldly dynamics. You could have, people that, and you may see an aspect of their life. They could be doing things like projects, community stuff. They could be in business, and the sympathetic joy is rejoicing in the prosperity, the worldly success of this particular person. So you all have, it's better to start with people that you really like, so there's no resistance when you have that sense of rejoicing in the accomplishments of your friend, your family member. Could be brothers, sisters, mum and dad. So you find something. We all of us can do this very, very easily. You find a close friend, family member that you like. You need to like the person. It's got to be a good relationship. And what we do is the person is running a business, could be running an internet business. May the wealth and the business success of my brother increase to an even greater level than they currently experience. So you choose the person, the area of prosperity. It could be things like, it could be a person that you, they, it could be a person who might be a little bit on, it's just an example, a person who's a little bit quiet, may not be so successful with like friendships and connecting with people, social relationships with others. And you could, you know, you could develop this sense of to like radiating, focusing this positive vibration on your family member who may have trouble with, you know, has trouble maybe making friends and connecting with others. And may, you know, could be say like may my brother develop, you know, greater quality friendships and connect with people like even more, or even more at a greater level than they are. So you know, you guys, you have your special people, and you know the dynamics that you would like them to be successful with. So you have to use the word formula which makes sense and which resonates with you on an emotional level, because we're projecting this emotion towards our special person in that area which we wish them to succeed in, to be prosperous, successful. And so just to, you know, just within your own mind, to, you know, get the formulation together, and the particular person, the area of the topic for success, for improvement, and then we'll do that for, we'll really get it to spin. We'll do it for, say, several minutes continuously, and then we'll move to the breathing meditation. We'll move to the breath meditation on the mouth section, which is quite focused but very, very comfortable. You won't get too much tension in the face, and very, very easy to track. So I could bring in the dark color meditation, but I've done that previously, so I won't overcomplicate things. So just with the, you know, for the beginners, just get yourself in a comfortable position with your hands together in your lap. It's usually good, you know, you usually find hands in the lap usually works quite well. Sometimes people like to cross their ankles, but just feel the focus. Sometimes, you know, if you feel that crossing the ankles helps to focus the energy internally on a physical level, then do that. But just make sure you're comfortable and the back is straight, head upright, but relaxed, and make sure nothing tight around the tummy, the throat, the wrists, and then make sure you breathe. You can breathe fully into the chest, you know, right into the base of the abdomen. So we'll make a start with several minutes of this sympathetic joy, rejoicing in the prosperity, the success of our friend, our loved person. And they need to be close to your heart. So choose the person, the dynamics, and then repeat the formulation. Could be my friend Joseph, be, you know, financially wealthy, successful and prosperous with their internet business. And so you choose the formulation with your person, your loved person, and repeat that slowly and continuously. And if it's at all possible, visualize them. It may not be so easy, but you know, as you think of your dear person, they will naturally come up in your mind. So just do that, just very slowly, if possible, silently, for the next 3 minutes. Now we will move across to the breath meditation, and I want you to focus on the feelings around the mouth. The reason why I focus around the mouth, it's very clear, distinct. It's a reasonably narrow focus, but not this kind of laser beam focus you get at the nose tip, which is not so easy for intermediate people. It's not so easy. And plus it can induce a little bit too much attention in the face. So focus on the feelings around the mouth, and you will feel the breathing on the periphery. Very easy to follow, and very easy to track, you know, from second to second as time goes by. We will do that particular practice for the rest of the session, and I'll talk you through it every 5 minutes or so. So as we develop this particular meditation, just try to keep all the muscles in the face as relaxed as possible, and then focus on the feeling, the sensation around the mouth area. As this meditation develops, if you still find yourself thinking excessively, or you've got strong feelings coming up that you need to develop your wisdom, your insight, you need to understand exactly how you feel and think and why, and you know where and when. So come to a full understanding of this particular mood or attachment experience, because the more you understand the emotional thoughts which come up in your mind, because it's your feelings are driving your thinking process. Without feeling, you know, not much happens. The mind, you know, tends to be much more still. Feelings, the energy which drives one's thinking process. So see where those, you know, feelings are coming from and why, and then you start to unravel. You slowly untangle these deeper emotions, and the mind becomes more peaceful. Thank you. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of the meditation. So just look back and see what works for you, what brings about, what induces that sense of peacefulness in the mind. And I'll ring the gong 3 times and you can open your eyes when you're ready.
Well, John, thank you for our meditation.
Yep.
And for adding to our toolbox of techniques. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Amanda. We've now come to the last part of our evening. John, would you like to continue with your talk or answer questions?
We'll see if anyone has any questions at all, anything whatsoever, that would be great.
Melanie, last week we didn't get a question, and I think you had something you would like to ask. Is it still with you? Or? Take your time.
Did you say Martha or Marlene?
Melanie.
Melanie, starts with an M.
Yes. Okay, Martha.
Oops. I'm relatively new to meditation, so I was wondering how you investigate the obstacles when you meditate, because you said you're looking for the peace of mind, and when you cannot go further, and because the point where I am, it's already hard for me to get the peace of mind, so I was wondering if you can tell me how to go on, or if I just should look for having peace of mind, or if I should investigate more about what I need to change, maybe, I don't know, in my meditation practice, or in my life, maybe. Thank you.
What I would do, Melanie, if it's a little bit difficult to get the mind peaceful initially, because we had one of the disciples who was doing the breathing meditation for about 10 years, and then it wasn't so easy. It was reasonable, but nothing fantastic. But he noticed that as he was sitting meditation with the eyes closed, he noticed that black space, you know, that black colour in the mind become quite prominent. So, you know, the mind experience becomes more noticeable. Things which happen in the mind become more noticeable. And he thought, well, I'm having a little bit of difficulty with the breathing meditation, so maybe I just focus on that black empty space, you know, that black colour, black empty space in the mind. And he saw very, very quickly that meditation worked quite well, because as I mentioned previously, that black color meditation, you're drawing one's attention away from the physical body and from thoughts and feelings, and you're going inside. So even though that as you sit in a, say, like a dark room with eyes closed, that black space is quite obvious. I mean, for me, it's there all the time. Hopefully, it's there for half the meditators out there. But it's very, very obvious. You sit in a dark room, eyes closed, and then you'll see that dark space, that dark color in the mind, and you just gaze in. You don't have to use any force or any real effort. You just gaze and look into that dark space, and drawing one's attention from outside things, going in into the mind. And you know, it's very it's a very, very light meditation. You don't have to, you know, it's very relaxing. And it's quite interesting because you get these like altered states of perception. You get this one going. You do this for 7 days and you get this altered states of perception. And it's like a mind experience. You're going into a little world inside there, which you hardly ever send your attention to. That space, you know, most people don't. You know, when people go to sleep at night, you know, it may be there, but they don't really pay much attention to it. So when you do this as a meditation, it's quite interesting. You almost develop like an altered state of mind, and it's quite interesting. It's like a little world inside your mind, but the bottom line is it's the easiest meditation I've ever seen to get the mind peaceful. So what you can do is maybe as either a beginner's or intermediate, if you're still struggling a little bit, you start with the dark color meditation internally for probably nothing less than say for example you've only got like 30 minutes. Sometimes people only have 30 minutes. There's so much going on. You could focus on the dark color meditation, for 15 minutes and get yourself, grounded, get some stillness, some firmness in the mindfulness, and then switch to the breathing meditation. So then do that for 15 minutes, the last 15 minutes. So do a 50-50 and then just see how it goes. But the bottom line is you have to do what works for you. Because all of us are very, very different. We have different, karma, different sort of like mental faculties. So you have to mix and match and see what works for you. But I know for a fact, I don't struggle with meditation that much. But it's very fast. It's of all practices, of all anything I've ever seen, it's the fastest way. It's the easiest meditation, the fastest way to get some peace of mind. And the reason is because it's so neutral, and that's why it works so well. Does that make any sense to you, Melanie? Or
Thank you, Ajahn, that's very helpful. I'm going to try very soon.
I didn't give you the second half, so that's very very easy to kickstart. But with that business, because you mentioned that business about the understanding. So, say for example, if I have a certain feeling, because your feelings they drive one's thinking process. That's the energy for one's thinking. Because ladies tend to be more intuitive, more feeling based. I mean, not to say that men aren't, but women, their feelings are much more tangible, more intuitive. So. The feeling that you have at any particular time in the meditation, where does that come from, with what person, for what reasons? So you try to develop this 360 degree full understanding, everything, try to understand everything about this feeling, and then you'll see and watch it carefully. You have to you have to see that this kind of approach actually works for you. So as you're looking and gently inquiring, understanding all the factors, everything about this particular feeling, this particular mood, you have to watch how tightly the mind is holding, or if the mind is slowly relaxing, it's slowly letting go. So if the mind becomes more peaceful, this is the measure. This is the evidence. If the mind becomes more peaceful, then you know for a fact, no matter what you do, no matter what anything that I've said or anything you do whatsoever, if it makes the mind peaceful, you know for a fact that that is the correct way for you to go at that point in time. Because the mind is, you know, the mind is very, very tricky, and it's very changeable, and it changes very, very fast. What works today may not necessarily work so well tomorrow or next week. So you have to constantly keep being innovative, resourceful, and trying to, you know, do different aspects of, you know, there's like a dozen ways to skin a cat for choice of better words, that, you know, there's many, as over time you get more skillful in your ability to look into and to inquire and to understand about all, you know, about a particular mood or feeling, one becomes more skillful, develops more ability, and becomes more sharp, and the mind gets a bit faster. So maybe 5 minutes a mood might take you over. You might see something in the first 60 seconds, and then, you know, you need to get onto that quite quickly. You just don't let the mood just go on and on and on for 30 minutes, an hour. As soon as something comes up, you need to put your attention right there, develop a sense of inquiry, understand everything about it, and then you'll see the mind just slowly let go as the minutes go by.
Thank you, Ajahn.
No trouble at all, Melanie.
Ajahn, I think Martha, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
I'd like to ask a question. First of all, I've missed y'all so much. I have been trying to log on like an hour late or for like months. I forgot about the time change. That, you know, we change the time, but y'all don't. So I missed y'all so much. Anywho, I have so many questions. I love learning, and this is so helpful for me. The thing, I mean, in my life, I mean, everybody suffers. Y'all, I suffer. And y'all's words come to me at times that I find to be very, very helpful. So I have so many questions, but let's see here. First of all, I love that sympathetic joy thing. That I've never done that before, but all right. So getting back to, okay, what was I going to say? So many things, because your answer for the last one was super helpful, and I had a question about that too. The question about, okay, all right. Insight into invest. Okay, you said if I don't feel calm in 5 minutes, I go straight to investigation. Now, you just answered that question I was going to do about that, because you just talked about how you do that if you're not developing a sense of calm within that, or you don't have a sense of calm within 5 minutes. So, my question is, so when we were focusing around the map, right? I often hear the words, I think it was samsara, I can't pronounce it properly. It starts with a TH, and it's from you guys. I'm working on right effort to try to develop calm all the time, because I'm super nervous and frightened a lot of the time, pretty much 24/7. There's just a nagging fear in the back of my mind at all times, and so I'm trying to work on right effort, but producing those states of calm, maintaining it, trying to prevent it, and then letting it go. And so what I have been doing of late is that black color meditation thing, and I have so many questions, because that's one thing I've been doing a lot of. Actually, that's a different question. The insight into the investigation thing. I hear his words going Buddha, 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 Buddha. And so that, because he said that when the mind's going berserk, nothing else go and do the Buddha, 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 Buddha. But what I've been doing is, of late, say, for example, when you said focus around the mouth, and I can do that, but it, as you said, when you came in during the meditation, you said, if your mind is real busy, then just go there and do the investigation part. So my question is, I can do both of those. I can do the investigation part, or I can use my brain, my mind to go, and this sounds stupid, I'm sorry, it sounds really juvenile and not fancy, but I'll use the breathing to just say, I heard your voice and I was in my mind going, feelings around the mouth, using my inside voice, feelings around the mouth. It was like chanting in my head or going Buddha, 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 except doing what you said to do. Feelings around the mouth, feelings around the mouth, feelings it with the breath at the same time. So my thought is this, but you just answered that. You said that if mind gets peaceful, that is right, whatever it is. But would it be more useful, do you think, to investigate this fear or to stick with the feelings around the mouth, feelings around the mouth? Well, I would like to know that.
Yeah, what I would do, if I had your experience, what I would definitely do is go to the black color meditation, because your mind is reasonably busy and your feelings are quite strong. So I would go to that, the most neutral object, and because the breathing is based on feeling, and you get this Buddha, just it can be too much, just drive people crazy. But it all depends. Some people like this kind of thing. It works well, so it's not for me to tut-tut and say, oh my, it's just too much, more and more and more and more thinking. Some people really like it works well, but that black color meditation, it brings you away from all that excessive thinking, feeling, the physical body. So I know for a fact, if I was in your shoes, that's exactly what I would do. I would develop that meditation as a skill, and then give yourself a chance, maybe like do it for say 5 minutes. And then if the mind just doesn't stop, if it's still very busy, then look at your feelings and take one feeling at a time and try to understand everything about that one feeling. And then go back to the dark color meditation. And then just so there's no too much pressure on you, then go back to the black color meditation, and then focus on that again for another 5 minutes, and if the feelings are still quite strong, then choose a second feeling, and then try to understand everything about it, and then go back to the black color meditation for another 5 minutes, and then if another feeling comes up and it takes you away and it's absorbing or it's concerning, then go right into it, explore it completely, everything you can possibly understand about it, even if you're thinking about it for 2 minutes, because you're looking at wisdom power, you're looking at insight power, which ultimately always has much more ability and more success than just tranquility. Tranquility, to give you an idea what can happen, say at the time of the Buddha, initially, before he realized enlightenment himself at Bodh Gaya, he had two, senior previous teachers who were masters of samadhi. So they went to the seventh and eighth rupa jhanas, which is incredible. It's the most incredible samadhi, the way they explain it. And even then, those two guys still did not attain enlightenment. The wisdom eye. So it gives you an idea how far you can go with incredible, the most amazing, I can't think of the right words to describe it, the most incredible peaceful states that you can possibly reach, the absolute depths, the depths, incredible depths of the mind. but you still will not get enlightened, which gives you an idea what the limitations with samadhi is. The Buddha made it very clear, you've got to have a minimum level of samadhi for enlightenment, for true wisdom understanding. You've got to have that. But the wisdom, it's got to be there at least 50%, if not more. You know, peacefulness of mind will only take you so far. But that's the same thing, you know, for Martha. If I was in Martha's shoes, develop the skill with the black colour meditation, just in a dark room with eyes closed, just gazing into the darkness, focusing on that black colour, just very, very relaxed. Develop it as a skill, become an expert with it. And then every 5 minutes, go to wisdom, insight, understanding, and really understand your feelings, because the feelings are really important with Dhamma practice, with the way human beings move in their life. Their feelings drive and move them in the direction of their life. So you know, it's not to be ignored, or you really have to pay attention to this to be successful with meditation in the long term.
Question, while you say that, before I forget it, may I ask you, because you're so right about that feelings part, about how they really drive us, and going back to what you said about the black color meditation, when you close your eyes, I've been working with that a lot lately, because, I don't know, but before I forget, the black color meditation, you said don't force anything with your eyes. For years and years, I have been doing the black color meditation, but not forcing anything with the eyes. And when I force it with my eyes, I'm more able to engage my inner body, my whatever it is, the true nature or something, and it gives me full focus on the inside. If I literally, like, I don't know. So I'm literally like, it's like looking at the inside of my eyelids, and I'm sorry if I'm taking up everybody's time. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And what if I don't do that, what happens is, because I can really focus on the gap between the out-breath and the in-breath, what happens is, I don't know, I have a problem with drugs and alcohol, and recently I quit again. And I'm interested in the fact that for years and years, I could use the breath and all this other stuff to deal with the pain of coming down or the pain of being hung over. But because I could do that, I think it helped me not stop drugs and alcohol, because it helped me bring down to the bodily level instead of the mind. And when I do that, where I focus on the inner body, it uses the brain, the mind, to be more in touch with the brain, so I can be aware more of what is going on in the brain. Does that make sense at all? So my question is it wrong to force the eyes? It literally brings up an inner body that I can contact with, that detaches from the physical body and goes more into, okay, I'm now aware not just of the breath and the physical body, but what is going on in my mind.
Yeah, what I would do is, because all of us, we're very, very different with our personal experience, so in essence, you have to do, like, you have to do what actually works for you. So, you know, the lay monastic teachers can share their experience with you, but the bottom line is you take the raw material, you take the information that we share with you, and then you have to see, you work with say, like, the tools, the meditation tools, different ideas, this and that, and you have to see what actually works for you. But something I would add to it is, if you feel this more, you were talking about this this inner body, maybe a greater bodily awareness. I'm not sure exactly, but something which possibly that I would test is the slow walking meditation, which is more bodily based. It's more feeling based, Because, you know, if I'm sitting here, for me, it's very, very easy. The black color meditation, breathing meditation is very easy. But for people who have strong feelings and they may have a lot of mental energy, maybe a lot of thinking, that slow walking meditation, focusing on the soles of the feet, you know, at least 20 paces, 20 to 30 paces in one's house. Even, you know, if you're on carpet, you know, maybe with socks on or a hard floor, whatever works for you, nothing less than 20 to 30. And then walk, focusing on the feet, feelings and sensations in the feet. And then maybe after 5 minutes, then try, you know, start reflecting on your experience, start thinking about feelings, your personal experience, it could be the stuff which is coming up for you, and just one at a time, like one experience at a time, one main feeling, one main mood at a time. Because what happens is with the walking meditation, you're grounding yourself into like feeling, into bodily feeling, and your physical body it connects to your mind. So your body and mind is connected, and so you may possibly have a greater sense of your emotional world by grounding yourself in the physical body, if that makes any sense.